Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles in. This is the eighth commandment. You maybe were thinking I was going to preach a Thanksgiving-themed message this morning, but we're on the eighth commandment of the Ten Commandments. I want to get through them before the Christmas season starts in earnest, so that is what I am preaching this morning. Thou shalt not steal. And I just had you sit down, so I won't have you stand up right now. I will in just a moment when we read the scriptures. And I want to just take a moment and on the radio congratulate Pickford and Maplewood, the co-op, and winning the state championship yesterday. That was a wonderful thing. And I trust that you young men, will use that platform for Jesus. And otherwise, you're robbing from him an opportunity that he has given you to share the truth and how good God is and who your Savior is. I trust that. And I preach a lot of places in the state during the week in different conferences and groups and gatherings, and especially among preachers. I love to preach to preachers. There's something about preaching to the choir that's real exciting, and it's men that want to hear the Word of God. But I told the people along. It was last year. If I hear that Josh Rader is a football genius one more time, I'm going to throw up. This morning, from different corners of the state, three different text messages. All it said was, Josh Rader is a genius. I know who sent it because their name is on there, but Josh Rader, just grinding it in, just doing their best to make me sick is what it is, right? No, he's not a genius. Don't give that. Anyway, all right. Let's go to Exodus in chapter 20. Your legs rested? Let's stand up one more time. By the way, I taught him everything he knows. Who was his high school coach? Come on, just think about that. Just think about it. Verse 1 says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." Thank God for salvation. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Number one. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a zealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Verse 7, commandment number 3, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." It's a big deal to God. Number 4, or the fourth commandment, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And again, I remind you, ceremonial law, and that is pictured in the work of Jesus Christ. Calvary's finished. Interesting. This is the only commandment not repeated in the New Testament. It's ceremonial law, but a great principle. On the first day of the week, that's when Jesus rose. On the first day of the week, that's when we worship. That's when he appeared to Mary and the other women and to the disciples. On the first day of the week, 1 week later, he appeared to the disciples a second time. First day of the week, that's when the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost. First day of the week, they celebrated the Lord's table. Paul told the people to take up the tithes on the first day of the week. And John on the island of Patmos, that's when he received the book of Revelation on the first day of the week. This New Testament, We're New Testament church. Let's read on. Exodus in chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's commandment number 5. Thou shalt not kill, or murder, the Hebrew word is. That's commandment number 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery, verse 14. That's commandment number 7. And then verse 15, commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God and that which is going to be preached this morning. I just desire to exalt you. God, you know, we spend time together this morning in prayer. I think all my sins are confessed. God, I want to be a clean vessel so that you can work through me this morning. And God, may we not minimize any of the commandments of God. And this eighth commandment is something that some people may think really isn't all that important, and yet it is. God, you made it one of the Decalogue, and it's something we ought to live by. And God, as a people of God, we need to be people of integrity. So would you help us? Help us to be bold. Help us to be new creations in Christ. We that are born again, may we live out the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's raise the flag. Let's be a people that are not afraid, are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. May we not be the people that blush to speak his name. God help that cowardly Christian that's afraid to stand for God. I mean, that's afraid to even speak his name in front of certain people. Man, get some backbone. Let's grow up in the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, let's shout it from the mountaintops. You were in Sunday school this morning. Persecution's going to come our way. Let's stand for God. Let's make our lives count. Rachel rehearsed a humorous story with me yesterday about a man that she works with, and he pulled her off to the side and said, listen, there's something I want to get off my, I don't know his exact words, how we started the conversation, but something I want to get off your chest. You know the commercial we have, and you know it's on Monday Night Football. And I stand up there on behalf of the church and tell them, you know, it needs to be God, family, and football in that order. And if you're missing the most important thing, you know, that's the commercial that airs every Monday night on Monday Night Football. And he, in somewhat of an angry tone, told my daughter Rachel, if I hear one more time God, family, and football in that order, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to scream. And here's what he said. He's an unsaved man. And he said, I sit down on Monday night to drink my beer and to watch my football. And there's that commercial over and over again. Here's a testimony, and just the way it is, right? Just the way it is. Up at the merch, you know, the bar in the Sioux, which I'm well familiar with. Man, my grandpa used to go there when they called it a beer garden. Man, I remember as a little boy having to go in there and get him out of there. And what a mess that made of his life. And Monday Night Football is on the TV up in that bar. I told Rachel, said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a T-shirt made, leave the merch and go to church. And I'm going to give it to him. As a people of God, let's be bold about our faith in Christ. Let's take the stand so that people know. Don't waste your life being a wallflower. Don't be that person that just kind of cowers in the corner. Man, you can make an impact for God. This eighth commandment is not to be minimized. And I know you might read it, and myself included, read it and think, well, there are bigger sins than stealing. And after all, the Bible does say this: whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So this is a sin, this is an affront to a holy God if we are people that are thieves. And there's a lot of ways to apply that, and I'm going to try to do my best this morning. The soul of America is in question this morning. Right is wrong, and now wrong, evil is being called good, and good is being called evil, and everybody's just kind of assimilating. We're the church of Jesus Christ. The very word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It means called out ones. We're not to assimilate in the world. We're to be salt and light. We're to be different. People ought to look at you and look at me and say, there's an honest fella. There's an honest lady. There's someone that would never steal. There's someone who has a testimony, because, and they're different than what they used to be. And again, that's all the grace of God. Definition of thievery. Definition of stealing. It is the wrongful seizure. It is robbery, taking what is rightfully someone else's. And as a people of God, we tend to classify sins, don't we? Well, stealing isn't like murder. Stealing isn't like adultery. And yet, you know what Jesus said? I've turned to it every message during this message, this series on the Decalogue. And that's that it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And if you would rob from a holy God the life that he has given to you, if you would rob from a holy God talents that he has given you, he's enabled you, and he's given you those talents so you'd have a platform, so you could stand up for God and be different than everybody else in the world, and all the drowning people in the world, drowning in the sea of me, all the people all over the world, they see that beacon of light, and they come to Christ because they want what you want. Or you can assimilate and just drown just along with everybody else and let people drown all around you. We're called to be different. We're called to be new creations. It's a fact. And we live in a society that it's not stealing unless you get caught. It's not cheating unless you get caught stealing someone else's answers. It's not thievery. Everybody does it. And yet God said to his people, thou shalt not steal. It's the Decalogue. It's our schoolmaster. It's the law. It's that measurement that we are to be measured by. And yet we understand we're all a fallen people. We're all a broken people. And therefore we need a Savior. And that's what the law doesn't save anybody. It gets people ready to get saved. Nobody has ever gone to heaven by commandment keeping. You go to heaven because you receive Jesus as your Savior. And you know why you receive Jesus as your Savior? You know you're a sinner. You know you're lost. That's the purpose of the law. Now, we're to be growing in grace. Progressive sanctification. We're to be a people that are becoming more and more like Jesus every day that we're living. And if we're getting less and less like Jesus, you're going in the wrong direction, brother. You're leaving the truth. We're to be more and more like Jesus. Not haughty. That's talking about attitude. Not better than thou. Not holier than thou. Not more sinful. Not being someone with wrong motives. Not ladder climbing. Not politicking in the family of God. Not looking for positions of authority. You'll never be used of God if that's your motivation. You may get, I preached this morning in Sunday school, you may get another position. You might get more money for it, but you're not going to be used of God, because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Bible's very clear on that. So the definition, of course, is taking that which belongs to someone else. Thinking about football this morning, I think I shared this sometime. I've only shared this twice in my life, but I think I shared it pretty recent. But I'm an old man and I don't remember, so you bear with me. There was a time where it's just not right to take things that don't belong to you. Period. I remember one time we were playing Petoskey High School in football, and I was walking through the locker room. They used to have their locker room at the old football field. The field house was underneath these big cement bleachers. I mean, just a huge facility. And we're walking through, and it's Thursday night. We're at the JV game. The next night, the varsity is going to be playing down there. And laying right in the middle of the JV locker room is the Petoskey playbook for the week to come. And it's laying there, and Steve, I don't remember if you were there or not, but I remember Tim Bradley, we're standing there staring at it, and I'm thinking, there's tomorrow's game right there. And we kind of looked at one another, what do we do? We walked right by. You know what? There are some things, you say, well, God put that there for you. No, I don't think so. Do you remember when we were playing Pickford back in the day, and we had broken headsets, and so we got the headsets from the fire department, and we're on the sideline, and Pickford's on their sideline, and they had cheap headsets. And Tim Bradley come up to me and said, Coach, I can hear everything they're saying over on the other sideline. I hear what their coaches are saying. He said, what do I do? And I looked at him, and I actually thought twice. I said, turn them off. And you know what? I no sooner said that, and I turned and looked this way, and you know who was on the chain gang that day? And he was standing right there looking me right in the eye, Chuck Bennett. And you know what it is? It pays to be honest. It truly does. Chuck's gotten saved since then, man. You know, that game really wasn't all that important, although we did win. Yeah, that game wasn't all that important. The command, look at Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verses 24 and 25. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more. Titus 2:10 says, do not, no purloining. That's thievery. 1 Peter 4:15 says, but let not one of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. A thief is someone who steals. I'm building a little bit of a case here. Verse 24 says, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears of thine hand with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. It's real simple. It's because it is not yours. We're not to be stealing. We're not to be known as a people of thieves. Say, I got born again. I used to be an idol worshiper. There were other things that came between me and Jesus. I don't worship idols anymore. I got born again. I used to cuss like a sailor, but I'm not a cussing Christian. No, sir, not anymore. I used to hate and rage and in my heart murder. I was so full of wrath all the time. I got born again, and I'm not that kind of Christian. Not anymore. I used to steal. Now I'm honest. Can you picture Jesus ever stealing? He who owns all things, created the earth, the sea, the universe, and everything that's in them. And yet he never took, never stole that which was not his own. A man that is a thief will bleed into all kinds of treachery. There's a result. Turn to the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 5. Find it as quickly as you can. Zechariah chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. The result, things go real sour. In fact, there's a curse. It says in Zechariah 5, verse 3, then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side. According to it, everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. If you start down the life of thievery, and it's going to bleed into the next generation. It's going to bleed into your kids and your grandkids. You're teaching them values that they're going to, and it's going to consume your house. It's like a curse, the scripture says. Turn to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 57. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. I'll read it. It's short. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. It gets worse and worse. If you go down that road of thievery, then before long you'll go down that road of being the liar. And you'll go down that road of being the adulterer in your mind. You'll go down that road of being the murderer. Yeah, in your mind, and that rage and that temperament, that old man is going to take over. You might think you have a temper. I just want to tell you this. I don't want to sound like, I better not say that. I don't want to sound like a certain presidential candidate when I say this, but like I'm trying to sound tough. You wouldn't like Tim Rader. You wouldn't like the man he used to be. You wouldn't like the rage that used to roll up in his being. And you'd have been just like everybody else in high school. You just wouldn't like me because he's selfish. And because he's a man that's got a temper that was uncontrolled. And it was his way all the time. Man, that you cannot be that way as a child of God. A man that does not control his spirit, Solomon said, is like a city without walls. Whenever the devil wants you, he knows your weak spot. Whenever he wants you, he just takes you. He just rapes and plunders and takes all your treasure because you have no defense. You're like a defenseless city. And so he just kind of throws the bait out, and then he just comes and does what he wants to do, and there's destruction as a result of it. And we need to grow as children of God. You can't practice thievery and have the blessings of God. I don't know who it is I'm preaching to on an individual basis here this morning. You might be stealing at work. You might be stealing at school. You might be robbing someone else's answers off their plate, off of their homework sheet. You might be somebody I don't know, but as a group, I know what we are. We're a fallen people. We that are born again, saved by grace, and we still got some of those old things we deal with. And the Bible tells us very explicitly, thou shalt not steal. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 44. Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 44. Can I tell you something? Stealing's like any other sin. It's not worth it. You might get what you want, but it's empty. It's not there. There's no pleasure. There's not. It's not the answer to any of your problems. Maybe you're contemplating doing something that really would be classified as thievery. In the eyes of God, not in the eyes of the world. In the eyes of the world, I know what the world thinks like. Yeah, if you didn't get caught, you're all right. Man, that's not the way it is in the family of God, and as a people of God, we can't get to that place where we're lying and stealing and doing wrong, and everybody else is doing it. The culture says it's okay. Well, the culture says abortion's okay too. Look what it says in verse 44: "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The source of a lying tongue, of course, is the devil. That's how sin came into the world eventually, initially. And then Adam chose sin and he followed the devil and became a child of the devil because he was a fallen man. That's where our Redeemer came, and his name is Jesus. And he's provided for us eternal life. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you're a thief, you know you've stolen in your life. You know you've done wrong and your sins are not forgiven. And you don't know that you're on your way to heaven. That's why Jesus came. He'll wash away that sin if you'll come to him this morning confessing your sin. He'll make you clean. He'll set your feet on the rock. You can be born again, born anew, born into the family of God, and it can happen this very morning. Be a man, be a woman, a sinner saved by grace. Become a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. God wants your heart, and he wants it changed. Turn to Matthew 5. We'll turn there fast. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And he goes on and he talks about murder, and he talks about adultery, and he talks about thievery. And he says, if you've done it in your heart, you've broken the law of God. All of us are lawbreakers. All of us are children of Adam. The majority of us in here, maybe all of us, and if it doesn't include you, get born again this morning, have been redeemed. We've been forgiven. And it's all the grace of God. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that forgiveness, say, "Preacher, I know I've broken the Ten Commandments. God, preacher, I know that I've broken God's commandments in every direction, six ways till Sunday. I understand that." And what that teaches you is you need a Savior. The law is our schoolmaster. I'll say it again. No one goes to heaven by commandment keeping. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's why the Savior came to this earth. Are you a thief? Have you robbed God of your talent? You know how many people make money as musicians? God gave them talent to use for his glory. They started out singing in church, and now They're just part of the world. Maybe there's another talent that God has given you and you're not using it for Him. You're robbing Him. For whatever reason you can come up with, you're robbing the work of God of the ability that God has given to you. Maybe you're robbing God of your tithe, your wealth. Malachi 3, verses 5 and 6, that whole passage. If you're robbing Him, you might just as well take a gun and stick up the ushers this morning. That's essentially what you're doing. You know if that describes you. Maybe you're robbing God of your voice in the choir, your praise, your ability. Say, I only use it at certain times. That's garbage. You make Jesus Lord of your life. You'll find out that certain times are pretty much 24/7. What did God entrust you with that you have kept for yourself and used to promote yourself? Wealth? Talent? Children? Grandchildren? What have you held back on God? What have you robbed? What have you stolen? And I kind of feel like I just had to end the message right here. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Father, would you bless the altar call this morning? Bless people's hearts as they're searching themselves before a holy God. As the Holy Spirit who lives within children of God moves amongst us. Take the word of God and Lord, help us to sell out to Thee, please. How many you'd raise your hand, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. Would you pray for me? I want to get born again. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. If you this morning want to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If you want to be born again, it's as easy as this. The perfect Son of God so loved the world, so loves you, that He took your place in death on Calvary's tree, on the cross. And if you would receive what Jesus did for you there, you will be born into the kingdom of God, the family of God. It's just simply being sorry for your sin and inviting Jesus in, asking for forgiveness, and inviting Jesus into your life. If you would do that right now, right where you're seated, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, just pray like this, not out loud, to God in your heart. Pray these words, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I deserve hell. I'm lost. And I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I trust you right now for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.